Welcome to Shattering This, a program devoted to the most important and fastest growing segment of society. To those who know that the world's political, religious, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they are counterproductive, that they cannot be fixed. Our mission is to look behind the headlines, to know who is working against our interests, to understand why they're doing so. Because exposing and condemning such schemes isn't hateful. It's the most caring and compassionate thing we can do. In our concluding hour, we're going to use evidence and reason to explore the Torah, which means teaching. It does not mean law, because it's liberating, it's enriching, it's empowering covenant, one and only covenant that God is offering. There is no New Testament. There is no new covenant. There is no even renewed covenant. The one original covenant provides the only reliable answer for you and your family. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate anytime over the next 3 hours, is toll-free 877-300-7645. In the first item in the news, of course, there was wallowing and hang-wringing, as Americans do what Americans have become accustomed to doing, focusing on the victims. Oh, boy, if you were lightly injured, then you were on the Today Show. It was the morning talk shows trying to outcompete one another for who could have a victim. Talk about how emotional the incident was at the school where there was the stabbing. So long as we continue to focus on victims and not on perpetrators, there will continue to be an never-ending supply of victims. We will satiate our emotional craving, I guess, for victimization. We have to look at cause. Why is it that students in schools can't resolve their disagreements, can't exercise good judgment, can't resolve conflicts? And there really is only one common denominator in all of this, and that is that the school system has been usurped by those who promote and practice political correctness, that socialist secular humanism has become the national religion of academia. And there's no longer cause and consequence. There's no longer right and wrong. There's no longer an effort to teach rhetoric, or reason, logic. We're in a consequence-less society. And until we realize that what we have done to ourselves through the imposition of political correctness, we're exercising good judgment is a crime, I guess we'll continue to be able to satiate our thirst for victims, because there will be an unending stream of them. This perpetrator, should you be curious, his ethnicity is Bohemian. I guess the conspiracy theorists will love that with Bohemian Grove. The second item that was in the morning news I'd like to comment on is the great discipline, the great moral leadership that was demonstrated by General Motors. They have decided that they would take disciplinary action in the wake of them not reporting an ignition problem and an airbag deployment problem that claimed the lives of 13 people. And so two engineers were suspended without pay. Or, excuse me, with pay. Not without pay, but with pay. And I don't know how that is a disciplinary action. I've told Aaron at the beginning of this program that I wanted to be disciplined and we would switch roles. He would do the show and I would receive his pay. That seems like the appropriate response to a disciplinary action.
I disagree.
I couldn't get any support for that idea, but it seems swell to me. The problem here is that, first of all, there is no discipline in suspending someone so they don't have to work, but you continue to pay them. And second of all, you know, it's the engineers are the ones who said, hey, there's a problem. It's the administration that had no capability of exercising good judgment. It was the administration of the company, primarily during the time that The Obama administration was the acting de facto CEO of General Motors. And it was that those supervising the company that did the wrong thing. So it reminds me of the Abu Ghraib situation where the Bush attorney general, in consultation with George W. Bush and the cabinet, the Bush administration cabinet, made the decision that they would torture the citizens of Iraq. And they did so. And then when they had the CIA coordinate the torture, which included waterboarding, but all sorts of just demeaning kinds of disgusting behaviors, those that were actually penalized and sent to prison were those who did what they were ordered to do. It is just another indication that we have lost our way, that those who are actually responsible are never accountable. And they always push blame to someone else. Speaking of not being accountable, SRN announced that there are another 400,000 Americans who have received health care insurance as a derivative of the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, taking the total number, I suppose, now to about 7.4 million. But the reality is only a fraction of those are a product of the Affordable Care Act. Tiny fraction of them, as a matter of fact. Most of those, the largest group, are those who simply use the website to sign up for health care insurance because their health care insurance was canceled. All they did is replace a superior product with an inferior one at a higher price. You can't exactly count that when you're taking something away from somebody that already had health insurance and giving them a product that they liked less. And a significant number of those people have never paid for the premium. They haven't checked out. They just said, I like that plan. If you'll give it to me free, maybe I'll take it. It's absurd. Moreover, they have not even bothered to distinguish the number of people who qualify because the standards imposed by the Affordable Care Act are much more lenient than the previous standards as it relates to the so-called impoverished. Now you qualify for government financial aid in your health insurance, even if you are a family of four and making close to $100,000 a year. The government wants you dependent. Winter Park, Florida, was the scene of a vastly more gruesome incident regarding a school. But because it was a daycare center, and school wasn't a public school, and because it didn't have a weapon in the sense of a knife or a gun, no one wants to talk about it. But it was a more tragic event and occurred on the same day as what happened with the school outside of Pittsburgh. A child has already died. There are many who are severely wounded. And in that particular case, we know what happened. A 26-year-old man, Robert Alex Corchado, was driving his Dodge Durango directly into the Kindy Care building in the Orlando area. As I said, one girl died. 14 other children are injured. In this case, the driver, he was a drug addict. He was a drug distributor. He has been in and out of jail. He has had many incidences of causing serious harm and then leaving the scene of the crime. He isn't the kind of person that should be out on the streets. You know, when you have a history of arrests, of selling narcotics, of driving in vehicles filled with narcotics, and of hit and run, somewhere along the line, you ought to be in the Department of Corrections as opposed to out of the Department of Corrections. But it's interesting, of course, that that story, which is more egregious, isn't being told. I read a story this morning about a woman. Her name is A.N. Hirsi Ali. She is a staunch critic of Islam and its treatment of women. She is one of the very few women in the world, and I think there's only a handful, who is actually committed to trying to help the more than 100 million Muslim little girls that are butchered by their parents in the name of the religion of Islam. She is an advocate on behalf of the tens of thousands of Muslim girls who are murdered by their parents because they were raped. And there are so few people with the knowledge, with the conviction, with the character to speak out against this savagery against women. It's probably the single most egregious crime in the world today, because you're dealing with well over 100 million girls who are being savaged, ravaged, mutilated, killed by their parents in the name of a godforsaken religion. And the only common denominator in all of this is Islam. So this woman, who is articulate, knowledgeable, and courageous, was supposed to receive an honorary degree from Brandeis University, but it was withdrawn amid criticism of her political positions. Yeah, you see, today you can't say that Islam is responsible for little girls being mutilated, little girls being killed because they were raped. Because if you say that, then you're no longer politically correct, and that's all we allow in today's universities. Truth does not matter. Good judgment is ridiculous. We just won't tolerate such things. And so this woman, who should have earned and deserved the degree from Brandeis University, sorry, the Council on Islamic American Relations says no. Welcome back to Shatteringness. Last Friday, we did an entire hour on the direct correlation between girls being mutilated by their parents, typically by their mother, to the tune of about 125 million of them. 99% of the Muslims in Egypt, for example, are mutilated by their parents. Female circumcision is what it's called. But it's just a disgusting situation. And in addition to that, there are tens of thousands of girls who are killed by their parents on honor killings, typically because they have either rejected a forced marriage to some old codger, or because they were raped. And as a victim of rape in Islam, a woman is the one who is guilty. And so this woman, this A.N. Hirsi Ali, has the courage to actually discuss this, to bring it up, to bring it to people's attention so that fewer girls might be mutilated in the future. She says, every time I say, this is important, let's talk about this, you have people like the Council on American Islamic Relations who seek to deny it, Ali said. Ali said she wasn't surprised that her degree was rescinded, though she said she was surprised that it was offered in the first place. She says, I'm used to this, Ali said. What surprised me is the decision by Brandeis University first to say that we want to give you this honor, because they obviously know what I do. He says, you know, in this age, you Google it, and it's all public. She says, I speak out against Islam's honor killings and Islam's female genital mutilations. That's what I've devoted my life to doing. He says, but what's so sad is that people in academia and in politics all are motivated by fear of offending Muslims. There's always this fear that if you insult a Muslim, that he's going to, or that some other Muslim is going to sink violent action against you. Well, I spoke out against Islam in Prophet Abdul. Well, my case against Islam was irrefutable. I used the Quran and Hadith to present the truth. A 1,000-page analysis of the 5 earliest Islamic books, all presented for the world to see. Didn't use any sources other than the 5 oldest and most respected Islamic sources to prove that the religion was vicious, that it was a terrorist manifesto, that it was a declaration of war against all humankind, that it was demonic. Proved it conclusively beyond any doubt. Not a single Muslim has found any fault with any of it. And yet, for doing so, for telling the truth, I've received thousands of death threats. That's what most people in positions of authority, whether they be professors or they be media spokespersons or they be in politics, even the military, they're afraid to tell the truth about Islam. So they either deliberately maintain an ignorance of it, in which case they ought not make any stand at all, and they ought not be professors, they ought not engage in politics if they're going to be deliberately ignorant, or they posture and lie on behalf of the religion. They know the truth, but they're afraid to tell it because they have no courage. We've lost character in America. It goes right back to this victim focus as opposed to having the character to stand up against victimizers. So they're not doing their students, this woman said, any favors. They're not doing the Muslim students any favors. No. When you speak out against those who are willing to expose and condemn the merciless, you're being merciless. You're not doing anyone any favors. These professors at this school who voted to rescind the honor aren't doing their students any favors. They're not doing themselves any favors. They're not doing anyone any favors. All they're doing is making the world more dangerous, ensuring that hundreds of millions of more little Muslim girls will be mutilated and murdered by their parents. It's extraordinarily sickening. Ibrahim Cooper, who is probably the most repulsive American, I would say that without any doubt, that if you wanted to say who is the single most negative influence in America, who is the person who is the most reprehensible in America, it would be Ibrahim Cooper. He is the spokesperson for CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. He said that Ali showed bias against Muslims in general, not just radical Islam. Therefore, a prestigious university should not seek to honor her or endorse her views. That's why we spoke out. Welcome back to Shattering This. So the despicable Ibrahim Cooper, who is an advocate on behalf of Muslims mutilating over 100 million little girls. That's how reprehensible this man is. He is an advocate for Muslim honor killings. He says that, well, you know, it's appropriate for us to speak out against Ali, this woman who has the courage to address these problems, because she has a bias against Muslims in general, not just radical Islam. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no such thing as radical Islam. It just doesn't exist. There is Islam, period. Islam is the reason that these little girls are mutilated. It's why they're murdered. It's not a radicalization of it. It's not an extreme version of it. It's not an improper interpretation of it. It's Islam as it was lived by Muhammad. It is Sharia. It is Salaf, which is their ancestor version of Islam, which is the only version of Islam. The Islam that is presented through the Quran and the Hadith through the mouths of the first Muslims. this notion that there is a variation of Islam and that there is good Islam and radical Islam and should only speak out against radical Islam is a despicable lie. It is not true. Muhammad was a terrorist. He was a pedophile. He was a rapist. He was a mass murderer. He was a ruthless terrorist. He was a slave trader. He was a kidnapper. Muhammad himself, who is the lone example of how to be a Muslim, was reprehensible in every possible way. The problem with Islam is Muhammad and his wannabe God who Muhammad modeled after himself, who is indistinguishable from Satan. The problem isn't radical Islam. There is no such thing. The problem is fundamentalist Islam, regular Islam, the only Islam that actually exists. Hey, Glenn, boy, I tell you what, I get hot when people like Ibrahim Cooper of CARE speak out on behalf of those who mutilate over 100 million little girls, on behalf and trying to protect those who murder their own daughters, and how they influence universities because they have no morals, no backbone, no character.
Right, right. Well, absolutely. And this stuff is reprehensible. I would venture a hypothesis as to, aside from mere cowardice, why the Academy might hesitate, to criticize Islam. It's interesting that Brandeis University, it's funny because they might have had like a probing sense of identification with her point, but then when they got there, they got caught and then reviled, they chickened out. But the thing is, when that CARE group getting involved, that's very similar to the way it has the cooling effect, like throwing a wet blanket, kind of the way allegations of anti-Semitism do for people who, like Mike, is presumed to disagree with something National Israel does, and then are accused of being anti-Semitic. It's like, no, we're not criticizing your religion, we're criticizing your behavior, If someone's going after this female circumcision thing in Islam, it's like, okay, we're not, going after your God, per se, we're going after this behavior. And they're accused of being anti-Islamites. And then they came.
Yeah. In this particular case, too, CARE says that she has a bias against Muslims. But,
Right.
In reality, her bias is against the religion. And her bias against the religion is sane. It's informed and it's reasonable. In fact, it's the only moral position you can have is to have a bias against Islam. But the fact is that that Islam today exists in Muslims. And that's the problem of religion, is that the hosts of religion are people. And those who practice the religion are the problem. And so it's
right.
But the other side of the equation is, rather than showing a bias against Muslims, by speaking out against the religion of Islam, you're actually doing the single most beneficial thing a person can do in this world before Muslims. For when I wrote Prophet of Doom, I dedicated it to Muslims because the truth can set them free from that horrible religion. She is speaking on behalf of the Muslim girls who are mutilated and murdered by their parents. She's speaking on behalf of Muslims.
Right. And if America were functioning the way it's supposed to, it would be like a level playing field where everybody, like, your right to express your religion extends right up to the limits of someone else's rights, and then everybody can agree to disagree, even vehemently, but not violently.
Oh, no.
That's the way America is supposed to function, but unfortunately...
No, it's a political correctness does not allow that. Today, whether it's debate on homosexuality or it's the debate on Islamic terrorism, the society no longer functions that way. What should be permissible is that this woman should be able to express the truth about the direct correlation between Islam and mutilation and murder of little girls. And if you're in a reasonable, fair society, an informed society, a rational society, that voice should not only be heard, but it should be the most powerful voice that is proclaimed. And if somebody wishes to defend Islam, so long as their defense is rational and reasonable, then they should get a platform for that. But they shouldn't get a platform for it unless their defense of that behavior is rational and reasonable. In this case, the defense of the immoral is given the platform, and the condemnation of the immoral is silenced.
Yeah, they're defending their right to a little girl's body.
Yeah.
But I have a hypothesis as to why, one reason why, another motive other than mere cowardice, why they might do this. And it's, you know, we've made the point before that the vast majority of religious adherents really don't know that much about their religion and how, you know, we say that one cannot be a good Muslim and be peaceful. Okay? But given that a great many adherents to religions are nominalists. They're cursory adherents. They follow the dress, they go to meetings or something like that, they cave because of social pressure, but in their heart of hearts they aren't necessarily thoroughgoing believers. And when a religion is comprised of, you know, vast majority of nominalists, it's not as much of a threat. And I really think the secularists, the politically correct, think that they don't want to inflame the passions of a large number of Muslims into becoming extremists, but they really think that they can spread nominalism, as a majority stance, you know, with Islam and thus, you know, minimize the number of, radicals or those inclined to violence or militancy.
But it shows.
Really think that power,
I think
is powerful enough to nominalize this large group.
Yeah, I appreciate the insight, but that is both ignorant and irrational. I'm not calling you ignorant or irrational, but that position is ignorant and irrational. It's ignorant of what Islam is. Islam cannot be nominalized. Islam, to reform Islam would be to make it worse. If Islam goes back to its roots, which it is doing now and at a very rapid pace, then it becomes like Muhammad. And Muhammad was a ruthless terrorist. And so the more Islam is reformed, the more Islam becomes the religion of Muhammad, the worse Muslims will behave. And this notion that you can make you can change a religion that is based upon terrorism, that grew as a direct result of plunder, that you can make that religion peaceful, is to elevate one's capability of rhetoric beyond God's.
Right. Now, listen, I agree with you, but here's my contention or my suggestion. I really think they believe that through the power of the persuasion of their wonderful technology and communications modalities and their brainwashing through television, radio, and the internet, and social pressure, that they can, like, if you look at the influx, the way they have promoted and inculcated this influx of Muslims throughout Western Europe, they're so plain that they've got the communications technologies, you know, in place there throughout the society, okay, and they flood these people in, and they live in houses, and they watch TV, and they put all these channels on, just like here in America. They flood all these Mexicans and Hispanics into American culture, and now, you know, my cable TV grid has, you know, almost as many Hispanic channels, Spanish channels, Spanish-speaking channels, as this. I really think that this is what shape cultures.
Let me interrupt you there. They're actually not being integrated. Hispanics, for example, are not being integrated into America. That's why those channels are all in Spanish. And the Muslims are not being integrated into to Europe.
I didn't say integrated. I said brainwashed. Brainwashed. It changed.
They're certainly being brainwashed. Now, the issue here is that you have an inability amongst those in politics, the media, the military, and in religion, to be able to effectively investigate the evidence that's available to us on what is the single most egregious crime in the world today, and to render a moral decision. Now, where they have been successful, Glenn, is that they have successfully, these same academics have been successful in indoctrinating rather than teaching students now for several generations. And so they know that they can brainwash, and they have done so. And in fact, at this particular school of 5,800, thousands of students signed a petition to disassociate the university from this woman, which means that the professors at this school are not only themselves a product of political correctness, which means they can no longer assimilate evidence and reason to form a rational, moral, reasonable conclusion, that they have done, that they have perpetrated the same crime upon their students. And you know, I have currently a daughter-in-law that is a teacher, and she is actually now earning her PhD in education. And when I talk to her about these issues, even she is so indoctrinated in the religion, if you will, of teaching, that she is a full product now of political correctness. She's a wonderful young lady. I mean, she's a just marvelous individual. Until you talk to her about academics, and the moment you do, it's like all of the knowledge and capacity to reason just flies out the window, and what you get is religious rhetoric. It's sad what we've done to ourselves. Welcome back to Shattering This. The story I've been sharing with you about this woman, Ali, who was scheduled to receive an honorary doctorate from a university and then had CARE intervene to preclude it from happening. The story was covered. It was picked up by Fox News. Now, Fox News wants you to know that this woman, Ali, was a member of the Dutch Parliament from 2003 to 2006, and that she was quoted making comments that were critical of Islam. In an interview with Reason magazine, they're trying to justify CARE's criticism of her. She said of the religion, once it's defeated, it can mutate into something peaceful. It's very difficult to even talk about peace now. They're not interested in peace. I think that we're at war with Islam, and there is no middle ground in wars. Well, Islam is certainly at war with all non-Muslims. It was conceived to fight against all humankind. That was the Pledge of Aqaba. The first day of the Islamic era began with this pledge to wage war against all humankind, which he said is correct. Now, of course, there's no attempt by Fox News to verify whether or not the Quran and Hadith make such a claim. There isn't even an attempt by Fox News to do the research we did last Friday, where we correlated the percentage of little girls that are mutilated by their parents to the Islamic population of the nations that those percentages are reported in, to show that there is a virtually 100% correlation between female genital mutilation and Islam. They didn't bother to do that. They didn't bother to tell you that 125 million girls were mutilated by their mothers. They didn't bother to tell you that. They didn't bother to tell you that tens of thousands of Islamic girls are killed every year by their parents in honor killings. They didn't bother to do that research either. No, Fox News doesn't think you need to know that. They did say that Ali was raised by a strict Muslim family, but after surviving a civil war, genital mutilation herself, beatings, and an arranged marriage, she renounced Islam in her 30s. That's the story.
Wow.
It is just despicable. And, you know, and Fox News claims to be fair and balanced. Yeah, right. Even they.
Right.
Fox News, I mean, I can't say even they. Fox News is amongst the worst news sources in the world today. But the reality is that for those who have been duped into believing that Fox News is somehow fair and balanced and it represents the conservative views in America, give it up. They're probably more lost than other news sources, which would at least make some attempt at being fair. Not Fox.
Yeah. I'd like to explain something for about 30 seconds here, if I may. You're right, there's definitely a war on judgment. And the facts don't matter when you're following an agenda. Just advance the agenda. And don't let the facts that might throw a monkey wrench in that get in the way, obviously. But before the break, you were speaking about academics. I'd like to talk about just from the history of psychology, the discipline of psychology in the 20th century. You started out with psychodynamics with Freud and Jung, and then you progressed into behaviorism, followed by behaviorism with like Pavlov and Skinner. And psychology historically was very mistrusted for good reason by most Americans. And then about mid-20th century, you started to see a semblance of some sanity come into the realm of psychology through the humanists like Abraham Maslow and Carl Rogers, the hierarchy needs and how do you feel about that, stuff like that. Humanize it, talk about needs. And then you have this transition into this modern empiricism and testing, Myers-Briggs, Taylor-Johnson, Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, and that immediately, once they went empirical and testing, then that got infused right into academics, okay, your California tests, your SATs, IQ tests, all that stuff. And then, and so psychology hijacked academia through this testing phase. So everything now is empirical and testing oriented, and also no shame, no judgmental. They're very anti-judgmentalism. I know, don't exercise judgment. Shame, don't be shame based. You know, it used to be that if you excuse someone of being shameless, that was a bad thing. You had a healthy sense of shame kept you from doing hurtful and outrageous things.
Right.
So, yes, there's a war on judgment, there's a war on good character, and the psychological establishment with its very spotty history has been directly responsible for that and directly impinged on academics.
Yeah, there's a war on cause and consequence, a war on personal responsibility, and a war on exercising good judgment. And those wars are all being perpetrated by the individuals that taxpayers are reimbursing for indoctrinating their children.